Readers, writers, listeners, welcome. This is the Page Turners Podcast. I'm your host, Miranda, an avid reader, a novice writer, and a longtime listener of podcasts. Let's dive into the Page Turners Podcast, episode 15 and the end of season one. So, not quite a year ago, I want to say maybe 9 months ago now, something like that, this dream, this idea of starting a podcast was formed. The idea was given to me and I said, let's do it, and ran with it and started interviews and started figuring out what I wanted the Page Turners Podcast to look like. And here we are, the middle of April, the end of season one with 15 episodes. I've gotten to speak with authors I knew nothing about, authors that I have looked up to since I was in middle school. I've got to interview friends and family, people that I wouldn't know otherwise that are on other sides of the country. This podcast has given me so much and opened up my eyes to so much in regards to literacy, and I can only hope that it has done the same for you, my listeners. Now, some of you may be asking, why only 15 episodes for season one? Well, we are, let's see, I believe 7 weeks. Today is 7 weeks out from the first night of prelims for the Miss South Dakota 2023 competition. 7 weeks isn't a lot of time. I mean, the Page Turners Podcast, I did months of interviews and planning, and that's what I've been doing for Miss South Dakota too, is months and months of preparation and practice. And so I really need to put my focus into that. I need to put my focus into these final touches, these last few weeks before I head off and compete for my dream job to serve the state of South Dakota, to be our representative, to be Miss South Dakota, hopefully 2023. With that being said, oftentimes when we think of storytelling, our minds turn to reading words on a page. But for young readers especially, the illustrations on the page are just as important as the words they're accompanying. Our guest today is from my hometown and the illustrator of Jericho the Journalism Kitty. Here is Mackenzie Yorty.
My name is Mackenzie Yorty. I am a teacher, a graphic designer, an artist, and just a person. I do a lot of different things, contract work, and the teaching is relatively new. I only started doing that about a year ago, a little more now, and I really like it. I feel very fulfilled in that. I feel very fulfilled in all the other pursuits I do. I'm also a potter. I almost forgot about that too. I do a lot of stuff.
So. Yeah, you just came from throwing pottery, right?
Yes, I did. That's why I look the way I do.
No, I love it. I'm in my gym clothes. I love it because you're a jack of all trades, Mackie, and that's something that I think I've admired about you for a really long time, especially because I don't have, I guess, like my artistic bone in my body is, you know, video editing for work and stuff, but you can do it all. And I love it. I'm always in awe of all the stuff that you're creating. I think it's amazing.
I think if I didn't do a little bit of everything, I'd lose interest in it because it would be too much of like one thing. And my brain needs to be scattered to be fulfilled, you know? Okay. I also have to feel overwhelmed or I'm unhappy.
I totally get that too. It's like, let's do a million and seven things.
Yeah. It's like, what should I do to myself? But like, I find that I thrive when I've got like five projects going at once and something that's like, if I'm not failing at something to like become better at it, then I'm also kind of like, wow, I'm not growing as a person right now. And maybe that's not the healthiest thing to look at, but it does make me a jack of all trades eventually. So
yes, it does. And I think it was probably about this time a year ago that I said, hey, Mackie, want to add something else to your resume? Want to illustrate a children's book? Had you done that before? Was that something you'd ever considered doing? What kind of went through your head when I said, hey, do you want to do this?
Honestly, when you asked me to do it, that was like the dream come true for me. Because when I went into graphic design, my whole thing was like, I'm going to be an illustrative graphic designer because drawing has always been like my base level skill of like everything kind of grew from that and all the other things that I got interested in, and illustrating books or like album covers, but it was always illustrating books, like kids books, adult, like I just all of that. And it was like, that was a dream. As soon as you asked me that, I was like, I can't believe I'm finally getting asked to do this. Like, I thought that would, like, I got to do everything else, but like the thing I most wanted to do was still like a thing, you know?
Yeah.
So it was excellent. Crazy.
Yeah. I had no idea that that was something you wanted to do. And a lot of people for me too, have been like, oh, I didn't realize that being an author was something you wanted to do. It's like this hidden, like big dream that I think the most of us had. So it was cool that we kind of got to do it together.
Yeah. Especially like hometown, like,
yeah.
It was really, really cool. And that was extremely special too. It wasn't just somebody elusive being like, oh, I live in New York City and I would like to have you illustrate this. Cause it would be cool, but I've done like album covers for people who I have no idea who they are. And then all like, I enjoy doing design and art for people that I know. Right. It's like having that connection, and the work is so much better. Like,
yeah,
I've gotten the experience of doing big city things and then doing personal things. And I got to say, my preference is always like having that connection, you know?
Yeah.
I feel like it's stronger coming forward too. So,
sorry.
Your cat.
Jericho, who are
the inspiration
was about. Yeah. He's literally climbing a box of books behind me currently.
Nice.
He may make an appearance.
I see him.
Oh,
there he is. He gets so fluffy every time I see him. I'm like, I can't believe that's Kat.
I can't believe it either. I, you know, this is a podcast, of course, so I'm gonna have to make sure that everybody's gonna be able to see him. I'll probably have to post this clip of him climbing over boxes of books all over this room. But
he
was definitely my inspiration, of course, for Jericho, the journalism kitty. And when I sent you the story, I said, hey, here's what I wrote, and here's a picture of my cat. Like, from the author point of view, you know, I just kind of sat down and here was my idea, and I kind of threw it up onto the page a little bit. Mm-hmm. But I feel like for you, it was almost a little bit harder because you had to really conceptualize those words. You had to put them down so that a kid or an adult or whoever could really enjoy them. What's that process like?
Oh, well, first of all, I'll say, like, it probably wasn't as hard. Like, I think that we both had different challenges, like starting from like nothing, like getting the seed of the idea and then growing it is always very difficult. Yeah. And then taking, and that's a huge part of having that connection with people when you're doing something with them, is like, you can kind of like, you could tell me when things weren't like, that doesn't look enough like Jericho, like in the eyes, or like that needs to be more yellow.
Yeah.
And that helps a lot. Plus Jericho as well. But as soon as like, I read the story, I actually read the story like a couple times, like trying to get the feel for it. And that's when I was like, it needs to be colorful. It needs to be pretty. It needs to be fun. Cause Jericho is a very pretty kitty.
Yeah.
He's very pretty. He's not. And I've seen like children's books that have that really rudimentarily drawn, like very, you know what style,
very simple, basic, yeah
like very simple shapes. And it's like, you know, kids actually, especially like having a couple nephews and now a niece, it's like you notice that they really do like pretty things. They like
color
things that are bright and grab their attention, and they do like the simple shapes too, but I don't know if they're like as attracted to it, just like adults are attracted to pretty stuff, you know,
for sure. So, and I mean, it's gorgeous. I call dibs. Mackie, you're the illustrator for all future children's books. And we've talked about it. I hope that it happens. You know, I grew up loving to read, and that was part of my inspiration for wanting to actually create books that other people were going to love. Were you much of a reader growing up?
I had a sort of a weird backstory with reading, like especially with my eyesight. Like I was not, it took me a long time to get caught up because I couldn't see the board because I was legally blind, you know? And then eventually it's like I actually really caught up with reading because I learned to enjoy it. Like people, really great adults, put good books in front of me, and that changed everything. It wasn't just books, it was good books with good stories and good characters and all the yada yada that goes with it. But that put me back on track, and especially having like that barrier really helped break that down. So yeah.
I went through that phase of, you know, I now have to wear glasses and what does that look like, but definitely didn't have to go through any of those like hurdles that a lot of people do. I know my little brother, he had to have special glasses because when he was trying to read, his eyes just couldn't, like, something with the muscles, they couldn't focus to read. And I can't imagine. I can't imagine what that would have been like to, you know, especially at a young age when, you know, your parents are reading with you and you're trying to learn. And I feel like that would almost make you feel, you know, it would feel so difficult, I guess.
Yeah, I think there's a word that came to mind, but I lost it. It's almost like not demoralizing, but you feel less like you're not capable. And not, especially for someone who's like me, where I have to conquer things, that's really frustrating. And you get like frustrated tears, like, yes. I don't know why I can't do this. And everybody else can do it so easily. Mm-hmm. Yeah, but it was a cool experience. I guess my experience was just slightly different, but it made me love reading in a different way. And I still like to read more than I like audiobooks too when I'm doing my projects, but I love actually like opening up a book and seeing the words, you know?
Mm-hmm. And I love the beauty of the audiobook too. I was just having a conversation with an author. And it's crazy how much audiobooks have grown and how much people gravitate towards those now. And they're a really great way for people who, you know, maybe they just find themselves to be too busy or they're struggling with reading. It's kind of a great way to get people excited about it again, or maybe, you know, excited in the first place.
You know, I should bring this up really quick. Like, a big thing that helped me so much with the reading was my mom did this funny thing when I was a kid, and she read all the books and recorded them on audio tape I could look at them while she was reading, and it really helped me catch up. Like, that was that's like a core memory for me when my mom did that for me.
Amazing.
Yeah, it was cool.
That is really cool. I like that idea too, because reading, especially at a little at such a young age, it's such a bonding experience. And to be able to, you know, when your mom's not there, when she's busy, you can still have that and still feel that connection while trying to learn to read yourself. That's really cool.
Yeah, it was really a special thing. I don't know why, I just like instantly popped up into my brain, and that I think that's why I love both so much.
Yeah.
It was really helpful.
What is your favorite book? What's like that one book that you've now had the chance to read? I know that's like probably one of the toughest questions to ask people who like to read, but there always seems to be that one book that kind of solidified people's love for reading. For me, you know, it was the Twilight series. I got into it with my mom, and that was kind of like,
I love that it's Twilight book. That makes me feel less bad about what I'm about
to
say.
No, whatever it is, no judgment.
I love like fantasy, like hardcore, like I was a Harry Potter reader, of course, you know, but like my main favorite was like the Kate Daniel series. And she's like this super, like, she's just magical and she's kind of a witch, but she could like, she ran around with a sword and she would fight like demons and stuff. It was so cool.
Oh my gosh. How did I ever hear of this?
I don't know. It's like my absolute favorite. I like to go back and read it when I'm feeling sad or something.
Oh, I love that.
But I love all, I think there's just so many I would not be able to actually choose, but that one I always like kind of return to when I'm feeling like it, you know?
Yeah, I think we all have that one book that we can always come back to, or that I think just really solidified things. But a big passion of mine, a big goal of mine, and part of the reason I wrote Jericho the Journalism Kitty is because I want the next generation of readers to find that passion, but I also want it to be sustained for us, for people older than us, for everybody. Mm-hmm. But a lot of people don't read, or they haven't found that. Do you have any ideas what we can do to kind of spark that for people and make sure that it is something that they can sustain?
Oh, that's so difficult. I feel like right now, especially like teaching high school, I see a lot of kids, they read, but they only read like things on their phone. Mm-hmm. And that is such, like, it's good because you could kind of tap into that if you wanted to, but at the same time right now they read a lot of things that aren't edited and they have like a lot of incorrect spelling and grammar. And I think that is like right now the biggest challenge with that is fixing that, because they they text each other all the time. So they, right. they know how to read, but they're so behind when it comes to grammar and spelling.
Mm-hmm.
And, yeah. But I saw the coolest thing the other day. I have like a girl in my class and she is not like that. You know, she's sporty. And all of a sudden mm-hmm. she comes walking in with, oh, what is that book? It's like Where the Crawdads Sing.
Oh yeah. Where the Crawdads Sing.
And she was standing in the class trying to finish it, like reading it. And I'm like, oh, are you trying to get ready for the next class? And she's like, no, I want to see how it ends.
Oh my gosh, I love that.
That's what you need to do is you need to find those books that have that draw, you know, and that's a great book too. I like that one. So
I haven't had the chance to read it. I have heard nothing but good things. A friend of mine is finishing it and then hopefully I'll get to borrow it because I got to hop on the train. Everybody seems to love it.
It's quite the story. It's very, I think like, there's a killer and there's it's drama. Yeah. Drama.
Which you can't go wrong with, right?
No, it's really fun. She's kind of an oddball, so you can connect to her very easily. So
I like that. I think that's a good, an oddball. That's me, you know, that's everybody a little bit. So if you can connect to that, that's great.
Exactly. Exactly.
Reading and literacy rates are pretty low in this country. A third of fourth graders won't reach the proficient reading level. And that directly kind of correlates to opportunity later in life, having less opportunity. You know, people are then more likely to end up, you know, in the jail system or depending on welfare, that sort of thing. What do you think we do? You know, we kind of talked about how we spark that passion, but how do we change that? How do we fix that? You know, that's a big thing. Reading is kind of a building block for so many things in our lives. How do we kind of flip that script?
Yeah, no, I 100% agree. And I think that really is back from my educational experience. Like we talk about it so much, like the reading is so huge because you have to, any job you have, any job at all, you have to read. You have to be able to read to be able to sign your name on things. Mm-hmm. Like you have to know how to spell your name. But the big thing that they say is affecting that is parents don't read to their kids anymore. Mm-hmm. Like they don't sit at home and they don't read to them. And it's like that would start everything. That would spark the biggest fire is like parents
right.
just showing up in that way for their kid. So, mm-hmm. and it's, yeah, there's a lot of things going on there, but giving them the resources is a great thing, but it's kind of on them at the end of the day. And I think taking responsibility for that is huge, you know?
Mm-hmm. So. Well, I have a plug, you know, read Jericho, the Journalism Kitty. People can read that with their kids. You know, part of the reason I wrote it is I am now a journalist, but when I was 7 years ago in high school, even mm-hmm. I had really no idea what that was. And so hopefully maybe our book can be kind of a building bonding block, if you will, for kids. Because that's huge. I mean, those are some of my core memories, just like you had with your mom, is reading with my parents and having them read with me at night and then doing that with my brothers and now continuing that on with cousins and that kind of thing.
Yeah. Jericho, the Journalism Kitty is going to be a great book to read with your kids.
We just had to plug our book.
Yeah, of course. It is a very good book, I must say. Very pretty picture.
It's beautifully illustrated.
I am so excited to get a physical copy.
I know. I'm hoping. So we're recording this November 2nd. It'll probably go out in the new year. So giving everybody an inside look at how long I've been working on this. But I'm hoping that by the time this is posted and that this is done, we will have, hopefully, a physical book for people to purchase. It's kind of a crazy process.
All right, guys, I got to pop in here really quick, and then we'll get back to the interview. A disclaimer for you guys, though, our children's book is not yet available. I know, I'm so disappointed. I wish that it were available and ready for you guys to purchase. But soon, very, very soon, I hope. You know, this whole process of writing a book and getting it illustrated and getting it published, I feel a little bit like a fish out of water, but also kind of in the best way. And, you know, I'm really thankful to Mackie as my illustrator because we made what I thought would be the hardest part, the writing, the illustrating, the making the physical book. I thought that was going to be the really hard part. But now this sort of waiting game of getting it published and, you know, maybe getting it on some platforms for you guys to purchase it, that's been the hard part. So I just wanted to put a little disclaimer in here that the book, Jericho the Journalism Kitty, is not yet available, but very, very soon. And the moment it is, even if we're not into season two just yet, I'll make sure to pop on and let you all know. All right, back to the interview.
You know, I wrote the book, you illustrated the book, and then I was like, oh, it's done. But I don't
think we were so excited.
You know, like, how many things? Yeah, we're like, wow, we edited this. This looks great. It's perfect. No grammatical errors. It's ready to go.
I know. I finished the last half as we were driving down to Florida, like going to Disney World. I'm sitting there in the camper, like drawing.
I messaged you like every day. Hey, Mackie, how's it going? Can you do this?
It was good though. Like, I think it was a great push at the end too, because I got really inspired by it by the end. I was like, wow, this is, I can't believe how fun this got.
And especially, I wanted it to be done. I wanted us to like have that like that fulfillment of doing it. And now it's kind of in the hands of course, other players, but it's going to be great.
It was a huge undertaking, both sides. That was a huge thing. How many pages was it? Like 20?
Like 25.
25.
I feel like it's a lot for a kid's book.
Yeah. And I hand wrote all the letters too. So
I was like,
I really want it to be authentic and I don't want to use like some cheesy font. And so it was just, yeah. I like, oh, I'm going to make this going to be great. And I just made it amazing. So hard.
I remember you sending me that first, like the first image of Jericho, I was in tears. And then you sent me the first couple of pages and I was just blown away to see it all come together, because you really made it Jericho, the Journalism Kitty. Like, I had this idea, but
you did a really good job. It
was so cool.
Yeah, you did a great job though of dividing up the words where you wanted it. Like, that was super helpful. And if you had an idea, you put it in like quotation marks or no? What is that called?
Yeah, parentheses. I'm gonna have
parentheses.
To, like,
yes,
that what helped. All that looked like.
Yeah, it was quite the process, and I would just send back page at a time, and we would edit it, and then when it was just like a whole, it was a huge deal. It felt like we were doing like this massive project, and I'm pretty excited about the next one. I'm not gonna lie.
So that means we'll do another one. We've talked about it and I want to make it happen. So I'm holding you to it on a podcast.
I'm down. This is my verbal signing of the contract. I had so much fun doing that first one. Mm-hmm. And it was a huge project. Like, it was so big and it was still a blast. You know how like sometimes you do something so big, you're like, this is overwhelming. And it wasn't, I never had that feeling of it being overwhelming. I had that push at the end where it's like, we got to get through it. We got to go. Done. But it was never like, oh, I'm dreading doing this, because Jericho was fun to draw. And then the puppy in the park was beautiful. And I was like, it was so fun. It was really
cool. Heard it here first, folks. We're going to do another one.
Yeah. Once this one is even out.
Yes. Once we can figure out all of the back of house stuff with publishing and stuff, then we'll be able to crank these things out like nobody's business.
Yeah. Just so easy. I've got my next resume edit ready with Jericho the Journalism Kitty illustrator. That was really cool, like finishing up the title page and putting your name as author and then mine as like illustrator below. I was like,
it like wrapped
it. Yeah. It was like, oh my gosh. I think when we're holding like the physical book, it'll be really surreal.
I'm so excited.
And with that, we are wrapping up season one of the Page Turners podcast. Closing the book, if you will. Thank you so much for joining us for the last however many weeks and months, 15 episodes worth of discussions about access, education, and representation when it comes to increasing literacy rates. So until next time, whenever that may be, make sure that you check out social media. You can find me at @Miss_Missouri River on Instagram. You can also find me on Facebook and a few other places. And I'll see you next time.